Today is the 6th of June 2018. I'm interviewing Campbell Agnew of Havelock North on the life and times of the Agnew family. Campbell, would you like to tell us something about your family and where they came from and what they did?
The information I have on that, Frank, is my grandfather came from Ireland. I can't say whether it's northern or southern because I don't know. And my grandmother, his wife, was Irish also, but I have no other details on that. I can't even recall her maiden name. And he came to Hawke's Bay after arriving in New Zealand, probably came to Wellington, but that's a guess. And he spent time in Hawke's Bay doing what I don't know before he bought the farm that is in Lawn Road here that he then spent the rest of his life on farming it and then retired on it.
Yes, now this farm you were talking about, the Lawn Road, was that the block that was called Moor Edge?
It was called Exmoor.
And that was pretty wet country, wasn't it, with springs?
Yes, it was, Frank, yes, and they had creeks running through it, and the springs and the creeks were all dealt to over the years as the farm went from pastoral into agriculture or horticulture.
Did he ever milk cows there?
Yes.
So he was a dairy farmer.
Yes.
Would it have been in the late 1800s?
Once again, I can only guess at late 1800s.
Yeah,
very
sure.
Late. Yes.
So many people that came out then, a few cows was the only way they could get some income.
I understand Grandfather Agnew was in Twyford first, and just from hearsay, I have an idea he ran a horse transport company from Paradale to Napier before he bought the farm here.
So now you're mentioning Twyford, so there's a link between Grandfather Agnew and the Agnews of Twyford.
That was my grandfather and his brother were the two. I don't think they actually came to Twyford. I think they were in Crownthorpe.
They moved down, that's correct. I always remember him. He used to stand so straight, like a gun barrel, his back was. I was always a bit apprehensive of him, but he had a twinkle in his eye, had a smile.
Yeah, from my memory of him, I can't remember how old I was when he passed away, but it wasn't a lot of time I knew him, but he was a very gentle, calm person.
And so he would have grown crops?
I don't think he was into any of that, Frank. That was when my father became operator of the property. He bought additional land to Exmoor, which was called Moor Edge.
Do you know who that belonged to?
I would have thought it was the Nelson family.
Yes, it was a natural boundary, really, wasn't it?
Yes. So my father, early on in his life, was agriculture contracting. I think that was what was happening on the property, not under my grandfather's guidance, but when my father took over.
Just coming back to your grandfather, he had more than one son.
Two sons.
One was Jack.
Jack.
He was the Agnew refrigeration man in Hastings, wasn't he?
That's right, yes. Yes, he had stores in Napier, Hastings, Palmerston, Norton, Levin.
Agnew's was the name, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's disappeared, and Tony was the last one, wasn't he?
Yes, Tony took over from his father, and the business was wound up due to the competition by what we call multinationals, or large chain companies.
That's, so then your father, Doug, took over running of the farm. That was a whole new direction, wasn't it?
Yes. It's not something I can give you precise dates on, but it was about the commencement of the expansion by Watties Canneries out of Just Fruit. And my father was the first to be involved in growing the peas for the company, which I think was either during or just after the Second World War.
Those days, the peas would have been taken by truck and thrashed in at the canneries, wouldn't they? He grew beans?
We grew peas and beans, tomatoes. I can't recall any other crops, Frank, but in that rotation of peas and beans, there was ryegrass and that third year fallow. So the farm was doing the cropping, doing the grass seed, and doing livestock raising.
How big was the farm in total?
I think the Exmoor Moorage farm was 120 acres.
I always remember the Model U Alice Chalmers tractor he had was the biggest tractor in Hawke's Bay at the time almost, and it was really quite famous.
Yes, it was the first rubber tyre tractor in Hawke's Bay, and my sister-in-law still has it.
Good Lord.
Sitting down there in the shed.
Just down the road?
Yes.
Well, I'll be blowed.
It was probably purchased because he was contracted, so they didn't have to load a tractor to take it to properties throughout Hawke's Bay. Yeah, so I think that tractor was 1938, and
yes.
Then just after the war, he got the first of the Nuffields he had a series of.
And now the children. Was Dougal the eldest?
Yes, Dougal was Doug and Margaret's eldest, and I was the second child, and the youngest son was Stuart.
Now, you all went to which school?
We all were educated at the Mangat Territory Primary School until secondary school age, and then we were all boarded at Dannyburg High School for our secondary
yes.
education.
Where did you go to work when you left school?
I worked locally here for, I don't know for how long, 2 or 3 years, and then I leased some land for him, started doing my own thing, and then in 1971 or 72, I bought a farm in Odani, and I farmed there for 5 years.
And was that a grassland farm?
It was a combination of grass and some cultivated ground growing just peas and barley.
And one day you met your wife?
No, I met her before we went to Otago.
Oh, okay. Was she a local girl?
No, she was from Lower Hutt.
Oh, you imported?
I didn't import, she was working at
And so you were married and children?
We had 2 children and still have, actually. A daughter, Jane, and a son, James.
What do they do?
Jane is in Auckland in the IT business, and James is in London. He's a merchant banker.
And your older brother, Dougal, did he work on the family farm?
He left school and worked in the bank in Hastings for
okay.
a while, and then I think he came to the farm.
And he married
Helen.
What was Helen's maiden name?
Yes, now that's not coming to mind,
no,
Frank.
And then your youngest brother?
Yes, Stuart.
What did he do?
He had an interest in livestock. He worked in fielding on sheep stud farms for some years, learning that business.
And who did he marry?
He married Jill Brown from Fielding.
And sadly, you lost both your brothers quite early in life.
Stuart, yes. Stuart
yes.
was mid-40s when
That's
he passed
right.
away, but Dougal only passed away
yes.
4 years ago.
Still seems early, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is based in
well,
Frank, yeah.
Now, coming back to Campbell, tell us about some things that you did that really complemented your farming.
Well, as far as interests go, I've got just an interest in general sport, although a particular interest in rugby, which I played myself after school for a couple of years, and then my other very strong interest is motor cars, which isn't anything to do with agriculture, Frank.
It's a result of agriculture, isn't it?
Well, yes, I suppose that's true.
But you took a lot of pride in your ploughing locally and nationally, didn't you?
Well, I don't know why I got an interest in it. I can recall going to the matches with my father, which I don't remember my other 2 brothers doing. I used to tag along when he went to Potongata and Takapau to plough. I took that up in 1969, I think, to start my competition years. Spent some years learning the ropes, then went on to be able to represent certain clubs in the North Island at the National Championships, which I did on 7 occasions.
What sort of plough were you using?
I started with a Reed and Grey and then had an English Ransom plough.
The Reed and Grey was just a standard moldboard, was it? Were they modified?
I think the Reed and Grey I had converted to a Duncan moldboard. I only used it for 2 or 3 years. It was something I think I converted in the 3rd year I used it to a Duncan moldboard. And then the same happened with the Ransoms. We converted them to Duncan models,
right.
So much more suited to what we were trying to do competition-wise.
I remember the truck that your father had all loaded up heading south to a ploughing match.
That was a Chev. It was pre-war. In fact, the one you probably remember, he had 2 of them, but the one you probably remember had a wooden frame cab.
No, the one that he took down south.
You mean going to New Zealand Championships?
Yes.
No, he never took a tractor with him. He always took the plough on a
That's
trailer, loaded
yes.
behind the car.
Yes. So you ploughed in North Island and the South Island?
Yes, yes. I've for many years ploughed the North Island Circle, I think, and the early days, 6 clubs ran events in the North Island. The latter years I built to 7 and used to follow that circuit when I could, just as time allowed, but used to go to most of the matches and I played on all the clubs at one time or other, probably not all the clubs every year. And then when I was able to qualify to play on the national championships, I went to the South Island.
That photo that I'm looking at here, that's in the South Island. Gosh, that soil is even, isn't it?
Oh, it's lovely down there. It's all covered with dairy cows now, but in those days it was the breadbasket of New Zealand, grain.
So you gave up ploughing, I guess.
I did, yes, a long time ago.
Yes, and you have part of the old farm here.
Well, it's not really. This block that I'm farming purchased as a family trust, in addition to the Exmoor Moorage land, and there was another farm purchased from the Cambridges, which was the 80-acre farm, the Dougal Farm, which
that's
is across
right.
the
yes,
road
that's
here.
Right. How big is this block then?
This is 11 hectares.
28 acres of power, isn't it?
27, yeah.
So, you obviously grew some crops for a start.
Well, yes, I sold the farm in Otani and bought this property. I bought my 2 brothers out of this property, being a family trust.
Yes.
And as the property didn't have a house, we bought the house in Havelock. And then I farmed this for 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
And then went into grape growing on it.
Right. And who did you grow grapes for?
Pretty much just about everybody.
Well, if you didn't, you would be taken over. I grew grapes for McWilliams, Cooks, Corbin, the French group.
That's exactly what happened to me. I originally signed a contract with McWilliams, which, as you've just stated, but I did also contract with the Auckland companies when they looked down to Hawke's Bay here to get better grapes than they were able to grow on their own sites
sure.
up there because of the weather. So I was one of the early ones doing that on a consistent basis.
Right. All on this block?
Yes, it was on this block.
And then at some stage you became Johnny Appleseed and planted some apple trees.
Yes,
didn't
that
you?
Was about the variation in the way the grape industry went and just looking for something that was an alternative.
Mm.
So I planted the first block of apples and have now gone on from doing that to planting a second block of apples and then getting totally out of the grapes and planted all the rest of it. And that.
Did you used to take part in grape harvesting during the season?
Yes. When I came back from Otani, I worked for Did Erickson, the local contractor at that time. I got to do that, Frank, through the association with Did on the grain company we owned in those days. And while I was not doing a lot here, it was quite a good fill-in to drive a grape harvester for him. And then, of course, our other owner of the grain company got killed, and I took over running that for 3 or 4 years.
Yes, that was
Gordon
Non-Eustick. And it's still...
The grain company no longer exists. We built the business to the point where we had it running very nicely, and then the grain available on Hawke's Bay started decreasing. Property that we had the grain plant on was very valuable, and somebody wanted it for other commercial uses, and so we were only running the grain company at like half capacity, and it was decided by the other 2 shareholders that they wanted out. Gordon, old Eustick's widow particularly, so we realised the value in the company by selling.
You must have had apples now for what, 10 years?
No, I'd be close on 30, it's about 28 years, Frank.
Since you planted the first apples?
Yes.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not sure whether it's much fun or not.
No, it creates some negative cash flow and sometimes it has some positive cash flows.
Yes, it's interesting. I said earlier that the idea of apples was to smooth the ups and downs of the grape industry, and but to say the apple industry has just been just the same up and down.
The big corporates have been able to pull some money out of it. Our overseas prices have certainly firmed, haven't they?
Yes, we've done some great work with varieties that's put profitability back in, which I think we're probably over the hump of at the moment, Frank, from what I'm seeing happen.
So you run this block mainly with contract pruners?
No. The work done here is by myself. Apart from the hand thinning work and the picking, all the rest is done by myself.
Yeah. We don't spray as much as we used to.
No, we don't.
Do you have to irrigate this flock?
I do, yes. I've got irrigation and I do it on demand. I've got meters to tell me when to do it. So even though you probably could grow without, there are times when you're damaging your fruit if you don't have sufficient water up there. And the very hot days, you're sunburned. So
you mentioned that you have a love of cars. Have you raced them, or do you just like driving?
I did competition motorsport before I started property owning and realised that the two didn't fit and sensibly decided to just go property owning.
So what sort of car were you chasing around?
I had quite a series of cars at those times, Frank. You know, there was just the, what you call the cars that were particularly good for competition on those days.
Like Anglias and Humber 80s
and Ford Cortinas. Yeah. But since those days, I've just owned cars on an interest basis for personal use.
I think it's something that you sort of grow out of eventually.
Not really. I wish I had. No, I haven't grown out
of
it.
So during all this period of time, did Margaret work?
No, Margaret worked for the Justice Department because she was in that line of business when I met her. I think she was working for a thing called Psych Services then, whatever that meant. And so in the Justice, she was involved with the probation officers, so supervising people. Yes.
Now, your children went to local schools?
Yes, they did all their schooling in Havelock
North. And their names are, and when were they born?
Jane was the eldest, our daughter, and then James was born. They were born in the 70s.
Both Havelock Primary?
Yeah, that complex of schools. There was the kindergarten, the primary, the intermediate, and the secondary school. And that's why we bought the house in Havelock, rather than build on this property when we bought it, because the children were just starting that exercise and we could see the value to being close to the schools, and we're still there.
And travelling, have you as a family travelled a bit?
Yes, we've done local, national and international travel.
Have you played any sport like golf or fishing?
I had to sort of retire from a lot of active sport because I injured myself at rugby. Sort of limited what I could do then, Frank. So my sport has been on the screen more than
comfortable watching. Have you ever been to Richardson's Museum
Yes, I have. I went there before it was public. Richardson became involved in sponsoring the New Zealand ploughing thing through his company, Allied Petroleum. And when we first put that together, I was on the New Zealand ploughing executive.
Okay.
And he invited us in there one afternoon and he showed us around, which was just amazing. It's changed since I was there, I understand, but originally he had this old bakery building that he had.
Oh, is that what it was originally?
Yes, but I understand there are additional buildings to it now.
It's 15,000 square metres in size. Yes. It's got a huge restaurant.
Yeah, well, none of that was there when we were there because it wasn't public. Mm. It was his private thing which he was doing, and it was well set up, Frank.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a big shed full of gear, but I understand that the sun's just pushed on. It's a tribute to him. He gathered all that material together. And what was great when I went was he was telling stories about securing this and securing that. And Harry had competed against me and Winton with this truck, and then we'd found it in the shed some years later.
Well, it shows the affluence that's behind it because everything that's there was prepared beautifully.
What's interesting, you're making that comment about money, because we were told by somebody who knew him well that he used to bike down there to the museum, you know, like the famous man in Timaru with the finance company. He used to have the old VW car.
Yeah.
Bill Richardson used to bike into the board meetings, but he invested in that.
So both your children now, what age?
Their 40s, just at their 40s, yeah.
And grandchildren?
Yeah.
How many of them?
Three grandsons,
And what age are they?
Oh, they're 10 down to 3.
Well, can you think of anything that you haven't told me?
Not really, Frank.
No.
The early history is just not with me. I was never, I suppose, stimulated enough to get it, and now those links have gone. And we can see and regret. Like Tony, my cousin, lives in Taradale, and another cousin from my father's sister, he lives in Wellington, and we meet every now and again and have a meal together and have like, we talk about this, how we didn't gather all the information about the history.
It's never too late though. Today we are doing exactly that by recording what you know at this point. Somewhere along the line someone else will have some of the history that you don't know.
Yes, although we know in our case, our big historian passed away about 5 years ago. That was my cousin, and she followed that and was interested in that and had all that information, but we didn't get it. My mother had a lot of that information and she's passed away.
Well, that's something we didn't mention, and that's when your father and mother, can you remember the dates that they passed away?
No, we can't.
No.
My father passed away some years ago. My mother just, I don't know, within the last 10 years. It's quite a usual happening, I understand, Frank. Mm. The first generation, the second knows it, but doesn't pass it on to the third, and the third tells the fourth, doesn't tell them what they're missing. They go looking.
Okay, well, I think that's probably given us a good coverage of the Agnews and where they came from and where they are today. So thank you, Campbell, for sharing that with everyone. Thank you.